Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. 2 Kings, chapter 7, in your Schofield Bible, page 429. We'll be reading responsively the first 9 verses. We'll read the verses responsively, verses 1 through 9 of chapter 7 of 2 Kings, page 429. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say, 'We will enter into the city,' then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Let's read together also on the 9th verse. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." Let's pray.
4 leprous men sit at the gate of the city. They're starving. Literally starving. That's bad enough to be hungry. But these are men with the disease of leprosy. That awful disease that starts usually on the palm of the hand or on the eyelid and is a little white pimple just like the one you have on your eyelid tonight and on the palm of your hand tonight. And then it spreads until it covers the body. And the body literally rots. And after a while, different parts of the body begin to decay until they fall off. It may be that the first joint of the finger will fall off after it's rotten. After a while, the entire hand may fall off. These 4 men not only were lepers, but they were starving because of an unbelievable famine in the town. They sit there at the gate of the city. Behind them is the city. The famine is so bad, it's almost unwise to tell you how bad it was. The famine was so bad that a donkey's head, the Bible calls it an ass's head, the same thing, a donkey's head, sold for 80 pieces of silver. Can you imagine going down to the supermarket and saying, "Give me a donkey's head"? That 80 pieces of silver. I mean, they didn't have anything else. They ate it. It was so bad, the Bible says, that they even killed a child and ate the child. A mother killed her child. Several times in history, famines have been so bad till people actually ate each other. The famine was so bad until they would eat dove's dung. Yes, that's exactly what you think it is. Dove's dung. The Bible says that the dove's dung was sold. Are you listening to me? No talking, girls. No talking. The dove's dung was sold for 5 pieces of silver. That's how bad the famine was. Some people could only buy a donkey's head for 80 pieces of silver. And some folks were even eating the dung from doves and paying for a pint of it 5 pieces of silver. So these men had behind them that kind of a city with that kind of a famine. In front of them, they had the Syrian army. There was a war going on, not only a famine, but a war. In front of them, they had the Syrian army. Now, these 4 leprous men had a decision to make. What shall we do? Shall we go back into the city and live there in the famine? They said, if we do, we'll die. We don't have 80 pieces of silver with which to buy a donkey's head. We don't even have 5 pieces of silver. We couldn't even afford a pint of dove's dung to eat that. Can you imagine? They said, if we go back in the city, we're going to die. Then they said, as they reasoned, if we stay here, we're going to die. We have nothing to eat here. We're leprous. If we just sit here, we're going to die. If we go back in the city, we're going to die. Now, as they continued to reason, they said, now let's suppose we go forward. If we go forward, we'll fall into the hands of the enemy, the Syrian army. But they said there may be, as they continued to reason, there just may be a possibility that they will hold us prisoner and not kill us. So at least there is, if we go forward, a possibility that we'll not die. So they sat there and they reasoned together and logic together. And that's the good thing about the gospel. It makes sense. I mean, the gospel makes sense. The Bible just makes sense. And so they said, let's just logic this thing out. If we go back, we can't afford even the head of a donkey or a pint of dove's dung. We'll die. If we sit here, we'll die. If we go forward, we'll probably die. But there's at least an outside chance that the Syrian people will capture us and let us live. And they reasoned what to do. Now, there's nothing back in the city that should draw them back. Donkey's head for 80 pieces of silver and a pint of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Let me say to you tonight, there's nothing worthwhile when you go back. Never is. Don't go back in the city. Don't go back where you came from. I mean, it's all donkey's head and dove's dung back there. Please don't go back. Hollywood made litter, but Hollywood is a donkey's head and a dove's dung. That's all Hollywood is. Looks mighty good. All the shiny dresses and all the wealth and all the money and all the big cars. But all of it is nothing but donkey's head and dove's dung. That's all it is. I mean, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't turn back. Shall I turn back into the world? No, no, not I. Not I. Shall I turn back into the world? No, no, not I. Not I. Don't go back. It's dove's dung when you go back. Nightclubs made litter. But all the nightclubs tonight that are open in this great area, all the clubs down on Rush Street and all the clubs down here in Calumet City on Strip Row, all of it. It may look mighty good, young people. It may look mighty good, fella, that beautiful girl. But I'll tell you, all of it, it's nothing but donkey's heads and dove's dung. That's all it is. That's all it is. The world has nothing to offer that's real. The world has nothing to offer that's positive. It's all donkey's heads and dove's dung. It just may be that the rock music, young people, may do something to you. And that's what it does. It does something sensuous to you. And it may be that the Prince and Madonna and Michael Jackson
And all that crowd looked mighty appealing to you. But I want to tell you, Michael Jackson is donkey's head and dove's dung. And the Prince is donkey's head and dove's dung. And the rock music crowd is donkey's head and dove's dung. Don't you go back, young people. Don't you go back. Young folks over here, you've come to church. You've heard the gospel. You've received the Savior. Your whole life has been changed. Don't go back to the dove's dung. Don't go back to dove's dung. Don't go back to donkey's head. I mean, just don't go back. It's just like it was. It'll do the same thing to you it did before. Young rescue mission men, you've come to the rescue mission. You've gotten saved. Your life has been changed. Don't go back where you came from. Don't go back to the tavern. Don't go back to the beer joint. Don't go back to the life of sin. It's all donkey's head and dove's dung. And I want to say again that there's nothing in this world as rotten and as filthy as the rock music culture. Nothing in the world. It's all donkey's heads and dove dungs. The rock concerts may look pretty good, but they're donkey's heads and dove's dungs. It just may be that the taverns look mighty good to you, but the tavern is nothing but donkey's heads and dove dung. Marijuana may sound good to you. It may put you on a high, but you'll be on a low when you get through, and you'll be on a low the rest of your life. It's donkey's heads and dove's dung. That's what it is. It may look pretty good to go back to the old crowd, but the old crowd that used to lead you into sin, don't go back. These four men said, no, we better not go back. If we go back, nothing back there but donkey's heads and dove dung, and we couldn't afford it anyway. So if we go back, we die. And if you go back, you die. You go back, your dreams die. You go back and your hopes die. You go back and your plans die. You go back and your future dies. You go back and your success dies. You go back and your spiritual life dies. Don't go back. Don't go back. You've come from that. You've come to something that's real. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You've come to something and somebody that's real. Don't go back. It's all dove's dung back there. All horses' heads. Just may be that the abortion crowd may look good, but it's horses' heads and doves' dung. It just may be that the queer crowd, I don't like to call them the gay crowd, they took a decent word and put it up with their indecent lifestyle. It's not a gay crowd, it's a queer crowd. It just may be that it looks good back there in the old queer crowd, but that whole homosexual crowd, nothing but horses' heads and doves' dung. The liberal theology may look good. You come to a fundamental school like Howells Anderson College that believes every book in that Bible right there is the Word of God. And you come to an old-fashioned school that believes there's a heaven that has golden streets and a hell that has fire, a salvation that's real, a sin that's black, an eternity that's long. But somehow you've got a little cultured mind, you think, a little intellectual mind. And this is beneath you. A burning hell is beneath you. The new birth is beneath you. Regeneration is beneath you. You want to be challenged in your mind to go back to some liberal theology. Let me tell you, liberal theology is nothing but horses' heads and doves' dung. That's all it is. Don't go back to it. Don't go back to it. Hey, ladies, don't go back to the soap operas. Don't go back. Don't go back. That's nothing but horses' heads and doves' dung. That garbage that you watch on that television set in the afternoon, as wicked as hell itself, came from hell, is going to go back to hell. It's nothing that's permanent. It's only temporary. I'm simply saying it's nothing but horses' heads and doves' dung. Don't go back to the movie channel. Don't go back to HBO. Don't go back to the movie house. Don't go back to the VCR movies, Hollywood, Broadway, all of it. Horses' heads and doves' dungs. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Don't you laugh when I'm talking about something that'll wreck your life and destroy your future. Go ahead and laugh now. You won't laugh when you come to me like a bunch of folks have come this week with their lives wrecked and ruined because they didn't listen to the man of God. You better listen to me. The world has nothing real to offer. Nothing, nothing. I said nothing. Young people, come out of the world. Men, come out of the world. Ladies, come out of the world. It's horses' heads and it's doves' dung. The new morality, horses' heads and doves' dung. Situation ethics, horses' heads and doves' dung. Prime time television, horses' heads and doves' dung. And by the way, There are a lot of things that are not even sinful in the world that a horse's head and dove's dung. A lot of things that are temporal. We spend too much time on that which is temporal. You know, I wonder sometimes what there is about the television that makes us want to sit there and watch that box every night. Whatever happened to croquet? Whatever happened to ping pong? Whatever happened to volleyball? Whatever happened to picnics? Whatever happened to hikes? Whatever happened to bicycle rides? Whatever happened to family playing ball in the backyard? Turn that stupid box off at night and get to know your family. I said turn that satanic box off at night and get to know your family. You sit there and watch that box, and a bunch of whores and whoremongers and prostitutes and queers stand up there on that television set and wreck your life and destroy your children. And then their lives turn out and they're destroyed, and you blame the Christian school because of what? Because it didn't turn out your kids. Let me tell you something. You get to know your family. You get to know your children. Those television prime time program are horses' heads and doves dung. That's all it is. They said, if we go back, we die. Nothing back there. They don't have any steak. They don't have any good vegetables. They don't have anything that'll make us well. All they're eating back there is horses' heads and doves' dung. If we go back there, we'll die. But then they kept on reasoning. These four lepers said, if we sit here, we die. I can't understand sitting. I can't understand this entire society of ours that doesn't want to succeed. Just give me a check every month from Uncle Sam. That's all I want. Let me just sit here on my blessed assurance and watch the dirty box and get my check every month and eat my popcorn and eat my hot dogs and smoke my cigarettes and watch the television. Say, what in the world ever happened to people that have some ambition? Whatever happened to people that had some goals in life? Some people who said, I'm not going to sit here and waste a life. I only have one life to live. I'm not going to sit here and waste it. If I sit here, I die. God's dear name, get up. Go forward. They said, now let's reason. Can you see these four men? Their bodies eaten up with awful disease of leprosy. And there they sit at the gate of the city. What shall we do? They said, now we have this choice. We can go back if we want to. And we can go back to the city. But all they have left is horses' heads and doves' dung. And that's all. We can't afford that even. So we'll die if we go back there. All right, there's a second alternative. They said, maybe if we sit here, we'll die too. If we sit here, we'll die. We're starving. We have leprosy. Nobody's going to help us. We have no food to eat. If we sit here, we'll die. Anybody just sits, dies. Anybody has no ambition, dies. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no hope, where there is no plan, where there is no goal, where there is no ambition, the people perish. America, that's what's wrong with Poland. That's all that's wrong with Poland. The security of the government taking care of them, communism will not work. It'll not work. It takes away human initiative. It takes away goals. It takes away individual effort. It takes away that part of man which makes him want to succeed. It won't work. I say it won't work. And this society we've got, every time somebody has a baby out of wedlock, she gets it paid for. That won't work. Every time some lazy devil won't take a job at minimum wage, he'll go down and get a check from the government. It won't work. And I'll be quite frank with you. I'm tired of supporting everybody in America. You have no right to take my money and sit there on your blessed assurance and not work. They said if we sit still, in God's name, let nobody sit still. Now there's a third choice, they said. If we go back, we have nothing but horses' heads and doves' dung. We'll die. If we sit here, no food and leprosy, we'll die. Now they said there's a third choice. We could go forward. Now we don't know for sure what will happen if we go forward. But there at least is a chance that we won't die. The Syrians will capture us, we know that. But there's a chance we won't die. There's a chance they'll capture us and hold us as prisoners. There's a chance at least we'll live. So these men decided to go forward. I want to say this. When they started to go forward, God began to work for them. God works for those that go forward. God doesn't work for lazy devils. God doesn't work for slothful creatures. God doesn't work for people that won't work. God works for those that go forward. And they took off and started forward, and they got forward a while. They came out there where the camp of the Syrians were, and you know what had happened. God sent a noise down to the Syrian army. And that noise sounded like a mighty army with the prancing of horses and mighty army. And the Syrian army said, good night. They didn't really say good night. They said, holy cow. And they said, good night. The Israelites have hired the Hittite army. And they've hired the Egyptian army. And here comes the army of Israel, army of the Hittites, and the army of Egypt all together. And the Assyrian army said, man, let's get out of here. And they left their tents. They left their horses. They left their food. They left their raiment. They left their gold. Can you see these four men walking into this camp? They walked into a tent, and one of them said, holy mackerel. He looked you here. He said, look at that gold over there. Nobody was there. They were gone. Oh, you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God provides for those who go forward. You think if they'd gone backward, anything like that had happened? No, they'd been eating dove's manure the rest of their lives. Like some of you are eating. Yeah, dove's dung the rest of their lives. Listen to me. I wish you'd hear what I'm saying. I wish you could sit in my office for 1 week. I wish you could listen to the testimonies of those who come in, who've gone back where they came from. Young people, I wish you could listen to what the young folks, the bus kids say to me, who come to church and get saved, but they go back. I wish you could listen. I wish some of you new converts could listen to what the story of people that go back into the world. Shall I go back into the world? No, no, not I, not I. Shall I go back in the world? No, no, not I. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Go forward. God provides for those who go forward. Boy, when they got there, they sat there and they ate all that food. My soul, they had Fritos and potato chips and Cheez-Its and sausage pizza was all over that camp. And all the folks that ran McDonald's stores had left the camp. And every McDonald's store was there. And a bunch of cheese quarter pounders Big Macs were there. And they'd already been made. They left them there in that hot place there in McDonald's. And all those sailors, you've walked around enough tonight. You sit still. Sailors don't have to go in and out. I don't want you to go in and out. And I'm going to tackle the next one that leaves. Now, you listen to me. I'm preaching to you. And you need what I'm saying. Boy, they walked in there. And here was silver and food and raiment and horses. And the entire Syrian army left. I say it again. God provides for those that go forward. Not only that, God uses those that go forward. I said a while ago, I was going to say this in a sermon. Don't you sit still one semester, you Hiles Anderson people. Not one semester. Not one semester. Would somebody tell me why one guy can come in here with five kids or six kids and make it through college in 4 or 5 years? And some of you single guys can't make it by yourself in 7 or 8 years. You know why? Because you haven't got any character. You know why? Because you don't go forward. You're interested in the world. You're too busy wanting to buy some tickets to something back in the world. I'm saying go forward. I'm saying go forward. God prepares for those that go forward, and God uses those that go forward. Here's how He used them. They were sitting there eating that pizza and those cheese quarter pounders, just like we're going to be doing in about another hour or two. And they were sitting there eating those cheese quarter pounders and
And ladies were trying on all those pretty dresses, and the men were trying on all those good-looking suits, and they were putting silver and gold in their pockets and filled up their pockets. And I was talking to Kwiatkowski, Dennis Kwiatkowski. He's got an Abba Dupa that's bigger than my Abba Dupa. His is an Abba Dupa. And I said, man, what's in there? He said, I wish it was full of quarters. And I said, boy, if that stomach of yours is full of quarters, you could retire on what money's in there. But these guys got there, and then one of them said, hold it. We're not doing right. There's something wrong here. Here we are in this whole camp. Every tent has money, gold, food, and raiment. And just four of us. And back yonder in the city, our loved ones die. Back yonder in the city, our friends die. It's not good that we sit here, because there's enough here for everybody. And so they go back to the city and say, hey, come out and see what we found. Let me tell you, brother, there's enough of this for everybody. Everybody. There's enough of Jesus for everybody. Enough of salvation for everybody. And I'm saying, God bless them. He blesses those that go forward, and uses those that go forward. Keep on going. Keep on going. Don't turn back. Don't quit. Good night. Don't quit. Don't go back. God's with him who goes forward. Now the question. They said, why sit we here until we die? If we go back to the dove's dung and the horse's heads, donkey's heads, we die. If we sit here, we die. But if we go forward, there's a chance we'll make it. And you listen to me. Your only chance to make your mark in life is to go forward. Your only chance to be successful in life is to go forward. And so, they ask the question, why sit we here until we die? Let me ask you this question. Why sit you there till you die? You folks that are not born again, why sit you there till you die? Get up and get saved. Life is available. Same fountain that flowed from which we drank still flows. And always will flow. Nobody has to go to hell. Nobody has to die without God. Nobody has to burn forever. Get up. Why sit you here till you die? Stop in logic with them. And stop in logic yourself tonight. Say to yourself, I'm a sinner, and I know that. Say to yourself, because I am a sinner, I'm going to hell if I die right now. Logic. Admit it. I don't want to go to hell. Admit it. Nobody wants to go to hell. Admit it. I'm a sinner. Because I'm a sinner, I'm one breath from hell. But I don't want to go to hell. Well, bless God, you don't have to go to hell. Logic. Set that logic for a change. I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't have to go to hell. Why sit I here till I die? Well, I would get saved, but there are a lot of people here, and it would be embarrassing to walk the aisle. Why sit you there till you die? Years ago, I told you this story. Years ago in Texas, I was out soul winning one Thursday night. Walked in a door. A fellow named Winfred Brewer came to the door. I said, Mr. Brewer, I'm Jack Hiles, pastor of Miller Road Baptist Church. He said, very brusquely, he said, come in. I walked in. He said, sit down. I sat down. He didn't sit down. He leaned up against the door. I couldn't get out. Leaned up against the front door. He said, what do you want? I said, Mr. Brewer, I came to tell you that, ask you a question. Do you know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? He said, nope. I said, Mr. Brewer, would you like to know that if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, yep. I said, Mr. Brewer,
If I showed you how you could know you'd go to heaven if you died, would you do it? Yep. Never sat down, leaned against the front door. I wasn't sure I'd save myself. Yep. I said, look, at first thing you got to know is that you're a sinner. And I showed him Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. I said, you see that? You're a sinner? Yep. I said, second thing you got to know, sinners are lost. They go to hell when they die. Showed him Romans 6:23, Romans 5:12. I said, you understand if you died right now, you'd go to hell? Yep. I said, third thing you got to know. I'd forgotten it. God came to the earth in the form of a man. His name was Jesus. God incarnate, God in flesh. I showed him Romans 5:8. How that God paid, through Jesus, paid the penalty and suffered our hell for us. I said, Mr. Brewer, you know that Jesus came and paid your penalty so you wouldn't have to go to hell? Yep. Mr. Brewer, would you like to be saved? Yep. I wanted to say, well, do it. I said, could I pray for you? Yep. I prayed. I said, dear Lord, if you were there, save Mr. Brewer. And I finished praying. I said, Mr. Brewer, would you say this prayer and mean it with all your heart? Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I said like this, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I said, and save my soul. And save my soul. I do now receive Jesus as my Savior. I do now receive Jesus as my Savior. I prayed again. Asked him to take my hand. Did. I said, Mr. Brewer, where'd you go if you died right now? Heaven. Are you sure? Yep. I said, well, man, don't you feel anything? He said, you didn't mention feeling. I said, yep. I said, Mr. Brewer, do you know you'd go to heaven if you died? Are you sure? Yep.
He got mad at me.
Yeah. Well, I said, Mr. Brewer, you don't look like it. He said, you didn't mention how you're supposed to look. He said, you just said, trust. And that's what I did. And I'm going to heaven. Makes sense to me. Why set you there in that pew and die and go to hell? You don't have to die and go to hell. Get up out of your seat in a few minutes. Walk down this aisle. Let somebody take this Bible and show you the way to heaven. Why set you here until you die? Years ago, I was in Brooklyn, New York, preaching there, International Baptist Church. Brooklyn, and it's International Baptist Church. Every color and shade of color and everything else sits out in those pews. There's a man owned a store, the neighborhood store. And back in, you know, in some of these neighborhoods, especially years ago, but this same way, he owned the neighborhood store. And he was probably the most respected man in that area, but he was lost. Somebody told him that the pastor of the largest Sunday school in America was going to be there, and he wanted to go down and see whatever it was, the largest anything, he wanted to see it. He came and sat in the back, and the folks were whispering all over the building, he's there, he's there. That's the, I forgot his name, that's the manager of the store. I preached that night on duty. And in that sermon, I said, it's your duty to get saved. I said, you ought to get saved to keep your soul from hell. You ought to get saved to go to heaven. But I said, the main reason you ought to get saved, I said, you're drinking God's water and breathing God's air and living on God's earth. And I said, it's your duty. The honest people, decent people, people of integrity, don't sponge off anybody, especially God. We didn't start the invitation hardly. He's walking down the aisle. This owner of that big store that everybody traded. Walked down the aisle, did his coat like that, buttoned it like that, pulled it like that, like all gentlemen do.
I said, what are you here for? He said, get saved. I said, why? He said, my duty. He said, for the first time in my life, the gospel made sense to me tonight. He said, nobody's ever scared me with hell or tickled my feathers with heaven, but I'm an honest man. I pay my debts. I'm a man of integrity. I do what I'm supposed to do. And when you reminded me tonight that I live on God's earth, breathe God's air, drink God's water, eat God's food, enjoy God's sunshine, and I'm doing nothing about it, I realize what a crook I am, and I'm not a crook, and I'm going to get saved right now. Logic is, let's sit there and say, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm going to hell. It's stupid for me to sit here and die when I can come to Christ and live forever. There's a second thing. Not only do I say to the unsaved tonight, why sit you here and die? But I say to the churches across America, why sit we here and die? Logic. Churches of America, logic. What you're doing is not working. This deeper life stuff's not working. You got a little handful of people sitting there tonight with mostly empty pews around the building. You know it's not working. Why sit there and die? Get up and go soul winning. If you sit here, you die. Get up. These four men were using logic. They weren't. They didn't hear Billy Sunday preacher preaching a sermon. They weren't hearing some tear-jerking story. They simply said, let's face it, we have leprosy. Let's face it, you're a sinner. Let's face it. If we go back, all we could possibly get, if somebody gave us some donkey's heads and dove's dung, that's all we could possibly get, we'd die. If we sat here, we'd die. But if we go forward, there's a chance we'll live. Not only do I say tonight to the unsaved, get up, don't sit there till you die, and to the churches of America, but I say to those who are not successful, get up. Don't sit there till you die. Don't lay there in bed till 8 o'clock every morning till you die. Don't be lazy till you die. You new folks to Hiles Anderson College, get up and get a job. Well, I've been here for 3 months. I haven't got a job. Well, you ought to have one. You dress right when you go to apply for a job. Brush your teeth. And put some perfume on. Take a bath. Wear a clean shirt with a tie that matches your socks. Press your pants and wear a coat. Put a smile on your face and shave good and get you a good haircut. Walk in the store and be a gentleman and be courteous and say to the fellow who hires the people, I'd like to have a job. I promise you I'll do you a good job and I'll work for you. I'll guarantee you there's no excuse for any young man in Hiles Anderson College not to have a job. Why set you there till you die? Sit there waiting for Mr. Satter to get you a job. Get one on your own. And have Mr. Sally when I went to college. Get your family a place to live. I am so sick and tired of hearing fellows say, Brother House, we've been here for 4 weeks and we haven't found a place to live. Well, find one! Shut up. You've beaten the pavement 10 hours a day, you've not tried. There are places you could find to stay. It may not be the Waldorf Astoria for $98 a month, but there are places you can stay. It's time some of you guys became men. It's not my job to support your family, it's your job to support your family. It's not my job to get you a job. It's your job to get you a job. It's not my job to get you a place to stay. It's your job to get you a place to stay. If I believed in divorce, I'd tell your wife to divorce you and marry a man next time. It's your job to offer her security. Not to go home at night like a whining failure and say, I don't know what we're going to do. You're supposed to know what we're going to do. Don't sit there till you die. Get up. Get some gumption.
Get the lead out of your pants. Get yourself enrolled in school. Get up in the morning. These four men logicked. They said, if we go back, we die. Nothing, the best we could have back there is donkey's heads and dove's dung. If we sit here, we die. Best thing to do is go forward. In recent days, I must be quite frank with you. There are times that I have not known what to do. At times I've said this to myself. If I go back, I die. If I sit still, I die. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on traveling. Let the heathen rage. I'm going to keep on. Let the queers criticize. Let the whoremongers gossip. I'm going to keep on going forward. I'm going to keep on getting on the airplane on Monday morning. I'm going to keep on flying to my destination. I'm going to keep on walking to the pulpit on Monday night. It's not as easy as it used to be, but I'm going to do it. Why? Because I'm going to go forward. I'm going to go forward. If I go backward, I die. If I sit still, I die. Only hope of God is to go forward. And that's the only hope you've got. Go forward. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Whoever said it's supposed to be easy? I'm having a tough time. Whoever said it's supposed to be a tender time? Whoever said it's going to be easy? You man or mouse? Why set you there till you die? Come to Christ tonight. If you don't know you're saved, don't sit there trying to deceive everybody and deceive yourself. Get up and walk down the aisle. Why set you there till you die? You're here tonight and you're languishing in failure. Get to work. Why sit there in your sluggardly posture and die? You don't have to die. Keep on going forward. Now wait a minute, I'm through. I do not know what's ahead. These men didn't know what was ahead. They just knew the only hope they had was to go forward. They knew what was there. These men said, we may be killed. The enemy may take us and murder us. We don't know what's ahead. Here's what we do. Now follow me carefully. We say, if I go forward, I know everything's going to be okay. Tell John the Baptist about that. They served his head on McDonald's platter. The issue is not go forward because everything's going to turn out okay. Go forward because you're supposed to go forward. Well, I'll tell you what. We know one thing. If we go forward, God's going to make a mighty sound, and they're going to think it's the Egyptian armies and the Hittite army with us, and they're going to leave, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to get their tents and their gold and their food and their raiment and their horses. They didn't say that. They said, let's go forward. We don't know what's in the head. I don't know what's ahead, but my best chance is to go forward. And you don't know what's ahead, but your best chance is to go forward. Now go forward. Don't sit there another day. Go forward. There ought to be, tomorrow morning, there ought to be 50 Hiles Anderson College married men get up at daybreak and hit the pavement looking for a job. Go from store to store, business to business. Don't go down to the employment agency and say, what you got for me? And don't go to Brother Sally and just say, what you got? If you go ahead and do that if you want to, but if there's nothing there, you just say, by cracky, I'm going to get me a job. I've got a wife to support. I've got children. I've got a feed. And I'm going to do it.
You said, well, how's it going to work out?
I don't know, but go forward.
People, men, come to men, males, come to my office. Well, how's, where's my family going to live? Well, I'm not a real estate agent. It's your job to find a place for your family to live. But that's what you're going to do with us. It's not my job to do it. It's your job to. You're the guy that took that little gal and said you'd protect her and care for her and provide for her. Now do it. You're the guy that brought those children into the world. They didn't ask to get born. They're yours. Go forward. Why sit we here until we die?